You're listening to the Bible teachings of Reality Church Stockton. For more info, please visit our website at realitystockton.com.
So Proverbs 8, and we'll be reading verses 32 through 36. And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise, and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. This is the word of the Lord.
My name is David. I'm one of the elders and pastors here at Reality. For those of you who don't know me, our normal teaching pastor, Pastor Christian, is still on sabbatical. So we would ask that you would continue to pray for him and his family and for rest in this time. But this is my week. This is my week to get to come and to talk to you guys about what the Bible says, about what God says to us, and I love you, and I pray for you, me and my wife. And so the opportunities that I get to come and preach, I take them really seriously because I want to think about, like, what do I want to say to my family, to those that I love? And so this morning, I feel like the Lord really has led me to this passage and to this theme. I'm super excited to communicate that to you this morning because I love you guys so much. But first I want to start with a little bit brief story or an anecdote maybe. There's a man who's a part of this church who in the short time that I have known him has made a really profound impact on my life. I mean, really in a deep way, and his name is Pastor Lee. And I love Pastor Lee, and Pastor Lee, there's a couple of things that if you don't know him, that you will find out quickly about him just in brief conversation with him. And the first thing is that Pastor Lee has an amazing passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ, that you cannot get out of a conversation, whether it's 30 seconds or 2 minutes, without Pastor Lee talking about Jesus, without Pastor Lee drawing some sort of connection to the gospel and how that comes to bear on your situation or on his situation. And that's something that I love about him and the reason why he's an amazing elder to you. And I commend him to you. If you do not know him and have not met him, he's sitting right here in this cool blue shirt. His top button is not buttoned like ours, and he takes pride in that. And the second thing that you will find out about Pastor Lee is that he's very wise. He's very wise. And that's not necessarily the reason why I chose him for the beginning of my sermon, but it's because of something else that he does to me when I speak to him that I will never forget that this is about him, is that when I'm talking to him and he wants me to be sure that I am listening, he will literally grab my face like this, okay? Now all of you are like, I don't want to talk to Pastor Lee anymore, but I don't think he does that to everybody. Or he'll reach his arm around the back of my neck and he'll grab me and he'll focus my attention on his face and he will say to me, are you listening to me? Are you listening to me? And he usually does this weird head thing like this. And he says, he does that, and it's a very intimate thing, right? He's touching, like, my face, and Pastor Lee's a close talker, and he's directing my full attention in that moment. He's taking a commanding role in my life because he wants to be sure that whatever truth and wisdom he's about to drop on me, that I am listening, that I'm listening. And I think this is really what the writers of the book of Proverbs and the characters that they write from also desire to interact with the reader when they do. In our passage, it is the character Woman Wisdom who is speaking, and she says this at the beginning of our passage. And thou, O sons, listen to me. The word in the Hebrew for listen or hear or heed is the word shema. And it's used 3 times in our passage. It's used 30 times in the book of Proverbs. It's used over 1,100 times in the Old Testament. So it's a pretty common word, but it's a pretty important word. And this morning we want to look at the biblical principle of listening. And in this series we have heard truth and we have heard wisdom from the scriptures, from Pastor Christian and from Pastor Allen and from Pastor Wayne and from Pastor Casey last week. And the question that I pose to myself as well as I pose to you is, are we listening to the truth and wisdom that has been preached? And I don't put that on you. I also really put that on me. Am I listening? And we're going to talk about this theme of listening in 3 ways. What does it mean to listen? Who are we listening to and why? Why must we listen? First, what does it mean to listen? My wife, Rachel, and I, we have 2 boys. We have Jonah and Thomas. And God just could not have made them more different from one another. Jonah is our free spirit who he'll wear multicolored socks and bright green shorts and a shirt that does not even come close to matching either of those things. And no matter how hard anyone might criticize him or make fun of him, it does not faze him one bit because God has made him and he's used Rachel and I to build into him this independence where he's just like, whatever, I am who I am. But Thomas is not like that, okay? Thomas is stubborn and he's passionate and he will wear the same outfit every day of his life. And it is almost impossible to try to convince him that maybe we should try a different shirt today than the Captain America shirt that you've been wearing all week. They're very different. And this is sort of part of the struggle, right, of being a parent. But it's also a lot of the fun of being a parent. But even though our boys are so different, Rachel and I find ourselves teaching them the very same things, right? Though they're very different people, though they're very different personalities, a lot of the things that we're building into them are the same. And that's because they are sinful little kids living in a sinful world, just like their parents. And one thing I find myself saying to Jonah a lot, and I'm probably getting ready to start saying it to Thomas, and let me know if this sounds familiar to you, is this. You may have heard me, but you're not listening to me. Has anyone ever said that to you, like your parents? You may have heard me, but you're not listening to me. And what do I mean by that? Or what do we mean by that when we say it? We mean that there is something more to listening than just hearing. Right? We mean that listening does not equal hearing or vice versa. And this idea of listening being more than hearing is very much present in Scripture. And it's a part of the pattern that God has always wanted for his people. The original readers of the book of Proverbs would have known another passage that Moses wrote back in the book of Deuteronomy. It sounds very similar to the passage that we're reading this morning. And it comes from Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 1. And it says this. Listen to the similarities. And now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the rules that I am teaching you and do them that you may live. Right? It's very similar. If you read through our passage in Proverbs, a lot of the same words are used. Moses tells the people to listen to all that God is going to teach them as Moses prepares to deliver to them the law of Israel. But there is this idea in this passage of 2 actions, right? Listen and do, right? In the ESV, they're separate. Actually, there's an and, right? Listen and do them. But that's not necessarily what the original text says. The original is much closer to how the New King James translates it. And that should be up there as well. So listen to the difference. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe. You see how the "and" is just missing? It, the whole point of listening was to do it, right? Like listening because you're going to observe what I tell you as you listen. The point of listening is obeying. The point of listening is to follow what we're hearing. And we need to hear this, because how often are we guilty of just hearing and not listening? How often do we treat our Christian life like it's just a series of check boxes, right? I went to church, check. I read my Bible, check. I talked to a Christian person, right? Check. I prayed, check. And all throughout those interactions and Christian-y things that we do, we did not approach them with ears to hear and listen, but just as if they were things that we have to do to keep our Christianity card. But Proverbs would call us, and the scriptures more broadly would call us, not to a checkboxed-based faith, but an engaged faith that is waiting for and following wisdom. And we're not alone in this attitude. So this isn't like a 21st century American church problem where we have a problem listening. This is often the pattern that we see in the Old Testament that the people of God fall into. It wasn't that they don't perform sacrifices. No, they performed the sacrifices. It wasn't that they didn't go to synagogue. No, they went to synagogue. It wasn't that they didn't observe the feast. No, they loved the feasts. But they did them like chores or like cultural mandates, rather than opportunities to be shaped and obedient to God. And this is why when Israel doesn't follow God, you read passages like this in the prophets. In Jeremiah 5, this is what God says to his people. Hear this, O foolish and senseless people. I read myself into that. Hear this, David, O foolish and senseless person. You have eyes but see not, and you have ears but hear not. Were the Israelites all deaf? No, no, no. They had ears. They could hear, but they weren't listening, right? This is God saying to his kids, and he's maybe saying it to us this morning, you're hearing, but you're not listening to me. Inherent in the act of listening is following what we've heard. Listening is tied to obedience. The word Shema in the Hebrew that is used here is used at times to communicate just the act of hearing, but is more often used in this way, hear and obey, especially in instances like in our passage where it's repeated several times. It's found three times in our passage, like I said. Let me just read again Proverbs 8, 32 to 34, just the beginning of that verse. And now, O sons, Shema, or listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Shema, or hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who shemas to me, listens to me. Not only is the word listen calling the sons and calling us as the reader to obey, but wisdom, so if you don't believe that, that's what it means, wisdom actually qualifies what she says. She qualifies her command. She says, blessed are those who keep my ways, hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. So really, all I want us to see first this morning, that the book of Proverbs is calling us not just to hear, but to listen. But to listen. And that listening is tied to obedience. And listening is to hearing what wisdom is to knowledge. If wisdom is knowledge applied, then listening is hearing applied. Let me say that again. If wisdom is knowledge applied, listening is hearing applied. Lastly, before moving on to the who and the why of this passage and of listening, I want to stress, and woman wisdom stresses to us, that listening requires dedication. In verse 34, she says this, blessed is the one who listens to me, watching, what does it say? Daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. Her call to the sons is complete dedication. Not only does wisdom require the dedication to listen, but wisdom requires that they must wait at her gate and door. They must prioritize their time for whenever wisdom may choose to appear. They must always be ready. Wisdom doesn't come on their time, but on her own time. Waiting is a whole other theme of the Bible, which I love so much. We don't have time to go into all of that this morning. But just briefly, I love that pastors always say that, right? We're like, we don't have time to do that this morning, but just briefly. God often puts his people in positions to wait because waiting requires them to recognize their need for him. Often in times of waiting in the scriptures, God's people are forced to pray. They are forced to look outside of themselves for help and guidance and direction on when and how to move forward. And this is similar to Woman Wisdom's call to put ourselves not just in big situation outside her door, you know, daily practice, but daily dedication outside her door every day of our lives. Wisdom's instruction is to become a disciple that waits constantly, that turns our lives not just into mountaintop need for wisdom, but into a daily need for wisdom. And I think often this is our struggle. It's hard to stay daily dedicated, to wait on wisdom, to wait on the Lord. It's hard to daily crowd out our own wisdom and to crowd out the world's wisdom. But this is precisely what she calls the sons to, what the scriptures call us to. And if this is true, right? If this is true, if like we read this passage in Proverbs and we say, yes, this is true. We need a daily wait. I think that we have to have some type of motivation to wait, right? This is part of our problem, right? We're like, you have to give me like a carrot at the end of the stick, right? For me to actually do it. But I think this is where the who we are waiting for and listening to comes into play. Because if we are to be daily dedicated and disciplined, waiting at the gate and the door of wisdom, it really matters who wisdom comes from in our lives. So who are we listening to? In this passage before us this morning, the speaker, as mentioned before, is Woman Wisdom. She is wisdom personified by Solomon and the other writers of the book of Proverbs. So certainly, as said previously, we should sit and wait on wisdom. But where does wisdom come from? Woman Wisdom actually tells us herself where she came from, which makes that really helpful. In verses 22 and 24 of chapter 8, she says that God created her at the beginning of creation. And essentially what she tells the sons is that she's been woven into the very fabric of creation. And as men would find reason and wisdom in this world, her threads can be traced back to the creator himself, to God. In verse 35, Woman Wisdom even invokes the name of God. She says that if you do these things, that Yahweh will bring you favor. You'll be in favor with Yahweh. And from the form of this short passage and the words that she uses in the name of Yahweh that she invokes, the reader would also be taken back to another passage in the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 6, which is called the Shema. And Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5 say this. Hear, or Shema, O Israel, the Lord our God, Yahweh our God. The Yahweh is one. Yahweh is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. For thousands of years, the Jewish people have recited these verses every day. And the verses following as well, which we'll get to in a minute. And it begins, Hear, O Israel, or Shema, O Israel. Moses has just gotten through the famous Ten Commandments and called Israel to obey them. Then he says this, Listen. Or again, Hear and obey. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. The God of Israel is singular. Not only did God call Israel into a monotheistic religion where he is literally the only God, but he is also singular in the sense that there is no God like him. He is a God that claims to have all power, all authority over everything. He doesn't just specialize in crops or fertility or war. He is the God of gods. He alone is God. And he has made man in all that he sees. And this puts Yahweh in a category unto himself. There's none like him. And the call of the Shema is to what? To love him. To love him. How beautiful is that? Moses gets done reciting all of the commandments, and their summary is to love God. Right? This is what Jesus tells the lawyer in Matthew 22, right? The lawyer comes to test Jesus in Matthew 22, and he says, "Teacher, what's the greatest commandment?" Right? And he's trying to test him and catch him. And Jesus says to him, "To love the Lord your God. This is the greatest commandment." Why? Because if we love him, if our chief aim is to love God, then the rest of the commandments will follow. But the Shema continues with a pretty practical wisdom for the reader. And it says this in verses 6-9. "And these words that I command you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between our eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." You hear the echoes of our passage in Proverbs, right? Listen, Israel. And it's going to take dedication to listen. Moses seems to literally be commending to us, right? Like the pictures with the soaring eagles in the Bible verses, to be putting those up in our houses, to be wearing WWJD bracelets and Christian t-shirts that have terrible puns on them. Right? Because what Moses is saying to them is he's saying, do whatever you have to do to remember who God is and what he has said to you, so that you can love him and listen to him. And I think within this conversation, at least for me, what I want to know is, okay, how? How do I listen? How do I wait at the gate? How do I wait at the door for wisdom to come, for God to come? How do I do it? I think this is where the spiritual rhythms of the believer really come into play. Rhythms like Bible reading, prayer, praise, fellowship, fasting, and rest, and others. Sometimes these components of our faith are called spiritual disciplines. It's where we put ourselves into the position to receive from God by reading his word, by being with his people, and by waiting and listening for how he would speak to us. This is a daily practice, as we've said before, right? We have to do this daily waiting at the gates for him to come and to speak. We put ourselves in the path of grace and we listen for the Lord. Again, it's not about checking the boxes. It's about daily putting ourselves into the pathway of wisdom from God with the intention of listening. And we have to fight for the listening. And we have to ask God to help us through his Spirit to listen. But what I think we need to hear this morning is that God speaks. That we serve the living God who speaks. That our God is not like the other gods who are silent and dead, but our God is alive and that he speaks. And that you should have an expectation that when you wait at the gate or when you wait at the door, that God will speak. That God has designed our relationship with him in such a way that he has said that he will give wisdom to those who seek it. That he will give it. He says that. And if he is the God that we just said, the God who is ruler over everything, can do anything, then his promises are sure and we can trust them. The God who created you, the God who knows you, the God who loves you, is ready to speak to you if you would listen. And the scriptures say that God has spoken most clearly through his Son. Hebrews 1 says this: long ago, and at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, right? We've been talking about that this morning. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. The writer of the book of Hebrews is saying, God has spoken throughout history, but if we want to know what he sounds like most clearly, if we want to know what it looks like to live the life of wisdom, look to Jesus, who is the wisdom of God. Now, if that sounds like a diversion from Proverbs, let me connect it a little bit. Because according to Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 18, right? So we've been looking at Proverbs, we've been looking at Deuteronomy. Later on in the book of Deuteronomy, in Deuteronomy 18, Moses says that at one point in time, there will come a new prophet like me and you will listen to him. That's what he says. And it is Deuteronomy 18 that is quoted in John chapter 1 when Philip brings Nathanael to Jesus. Philip comes to Nathanael and he says, Nathanael, the one that Moses has spoken about, he's here. And it is Deuteronomy 18 that is quoted in Acts chapter 3 when Peter is preaching about Jesus in the temple. Peter is telling the people in the temple, the one that Moses talked about, the one that we would listen to, he has come. And it is Jesus. And the people of Israel, all throughout their history, they had a God who gave wisdom through the scriptures and prophets and religious practices. But there was this sense, if you read the Old Testament, that they were supposed to be waiting for the ultimate fulfillment, and that came through Jesus. And it is Jesus who is spoken about in Deuteronomy 18, the prophet who would come, who the people would listen to, or should listen to. And it is him who is wisdom to God's people. It is Jesus who is wisdom to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 says this of Jesus: and because of him, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, righteousness and sanctification and redemption, so that as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. This is why we are engrossed as a church and as a community with Jesus. Because if we want to get wise, if we want to get wisdom, then we need to get Jesus. And the Father says this himself. Matthew 17, he says this: this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And that's a lot of passion about listening from me. But I, maybe like you, am also a very cynical person. Okay, so I get to this moment in the sermon and I go, man, I maybe want to do that. But why? Why? I mean, it sounds good, but why? Why should I listen? Why is it so important? Why should I tie a string around my finger? Why do I need to find wisdom? Why do I need to listen to God? Well, woman wisdom actually also impacts the why. She's very helpful. In Proverbs chapter 8, verses 35 to 36, she says this: for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death. Why? Why must we listen? Because it's a matter of life and death. When we enter into reading Proverbs, it can just seem like practical wisdom for daily life. And it is practical wisdom for daily life. There's so much wisdom within this book. But here, very near to the beginning of the book, the idea is that a life lived in dedication to wisdom doesn't just serve this life, but serves the life to come. How often in our cultural moment do we hear that people want their lives to mean something? I like it when I say things like that, because then I always go, how often do I want my life to mean something? How often do you want your life to mean something? How often are we unsatisfied with normal life? But in the end, are we all not looking for life? It's really like an existential question when I say it like that. But if you listen, it sounds right almost to our souls, right? Are you not looking for life? Am I not looking for life? We say things like, let me live. Or, I wish Chris Trimble was in here because he says that all the time. Or that gives me life. What we're saying is that we want to live life. And we want life to be alive in us. And what the proverb says is that a life lived in dedication to God's wisdom is not only a life well lived for today and for tomorrow, but a life well lived on into eternity. If you're looking for significance this morning, it's found in a life lived, engrossed in the wisdom of God, which is hidden in the person of God. I don't think that if I asked any one of us this morning whether you wanted life or death, that any of us would honestly choose life or choose death. Maybe I want death. I don't know. We want life. Even if we don't want our life, we want life. But I think where the argument comes in, right, is how do you find life? How do you find it? The Bible says that life is found in God, in him, like in his person. Life is found in him. He is the source of life. And that life is found through listening and obeying by loving God. But our hearts are tricky. Like Woman Wisdom says, but he who fails to find life injures himself. All who hate me love death. Those are some strong words. Our hearts have a funny way of ruining life for ourselves. Pastor Allen preached about this a few weeks ago, right? Our hearts cannot be trusted, and yet so often we trust in them. When we do it, it is ourselves that we injure. It is death that we are pursuing, even though with our lips we may say that we want life. I think the book of James has something to say about this. He says this in his first chapter. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. I think often we're afraid that when we give ourselves to God, that we'll lose ourselves. And we're afraid of that. Because certainly the call of God does ask us to give up some things, does it not? But what James says is that when we give ourselves to God, we will find our truest self and remember who we are. Right? He says that it's like a man who looks into a mirror. And if he doesn't intently do or listen to what God says, when he goes away, he forgets who he is. And so if you want to find your truest self, if you're looking for a significance and what the meaning of life, it is found in God. And in listening to him and following him with our whole lives. If you want to be a person that looks into the mirror and when you walk away, remembers who you are a son and a daughter of God. And you live your life following after him because there's no other life to be lived under the sun. And just as Jesus becomes the penultimate of God speaking and his wisdom, so does Jesus become the giver of life to us. John chapter 5 says this, "For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to also have life in himself." And then later in the book of John, in chapter 17, it says this, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." I'm going to let Matthew Henry unpack that for us this morning. I'm going to read it slowly, because if I don't read it slowly, I don't understand what he's saying either. But this is what he says. "Christ is wisdom. And he that finds Christ, that obtains an interest in him, he finds life. For Christ is life to all believers. He that has the Son of God has life, eternal life, and he shall obtain favor of the Lord, who is well pleased with all those that are in Christ. Nor can we obtain God's favor unless we find Christ and be found in him. The truth is this: Jesus Christ is life. And a life well lived is found in listening by loving him with our whole lives. We find life in his death because the God of the universe came and was beaten and killed and buried that we might live. But he didn't stay in the grave, but was raised, slaying our enemies and giving us eternal life. When we find life in Jesus, listening to Jesus and his commands becomes boiled down to what we had said previously, loving him. When we look into the cross of Calvary and we see God taking all of our sin and our shame upon himself, and the love that that communicates to us, it becomes a joy to listen because we recognize his love for us. His love for us should motivate us to listen to him. Jesus said himself, "If you love me, you'll obey my commandments." Listening is the correctly ordered response to loving relationship. Just think about your human relationships, your spouse, your friends, your family. What would those relationships be like if you just like stopped listening to them? It'd be terrible like relationships, and they would not be life-giving. For us believers this morning, the challenge to us is to press in to the discipline of listening. To stop just hearing and walking away, but listening intently at the gate and the door, because we have found love in Christ. To order our lives in such a way that we put ourselves into the pathway of God's grace, to listen for the wisdom of God out of a response to the love of Christ. For those here that are not believers, perhaps this morning, as I spoke about what it means to have life, your response was, yeah, I want some of that life. The invitation into the life Jesus offers is offered to you this morning by grace. It doesn't require your good behavior or your good deeds. It requires only faith in him. And I would invite you to answer that invitation of him calling you this morning. Pray with me.